This episode is sponsored by the winningest shell in the history of sporting clays and Fetask history, Game Boar Shot Shells. No other brand has won more world championships. White Gold and Dark Storm contain precision-made diamond shot that is graded 5 times for consistency and has high-performance smooth velocities, providing less felt recoil. You put in the work. Now load up with the best. Why trust anything else? Available throughout the U.S. exclusively from KL Ammo. Find them online at www.GameBoreUS.com. Game Boar are simply the champion's choice.
Hey, clay shooters, it's that time again.
These guys aren't just anybody, they're good.
It's time for the Dead Pair Podcast with Jason Rambo.
Does your brain hear what your mouth is saying?
And Sean Alley.
He's large and in charge.
Here to bring you all things sporting clays, from the ins and outs, tips and tricks, news and gossip from pro shooters, service and industry specialists, coaches, clubs, and more.
Often imitated, never duplicated.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
Welcome, everyone, to the Dead Pair Podcast.
Yeah, what do you think of that, Sean?
That's all new, isn't it?
I don't know. We'll tweak it.
It's been almost a year. I figure we needed to freshen things up a bit. May have another revision down the road here shortly, but been getting some comments that we needed to kind of change things up a little bit. So there we go.
Then you left the door unlocked again today.
Yeah. Well.
Welcome to the studio, Mr. Jake Spangler from the Cardinal Center.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey. The question is, are you glad to be back?
Always.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, Jake, thank you for joining us tonight. While you're in here, I want to talk about the night shoot coming up. This is exciting stuff for Sean and I. This is our favorite shoot.
And this is basically our 1 year. The night shoot's going to be our 1 year anniversary from releasing the show, the first show.
Yes. Yes. So
kind of a big milestone for us.
Well, let's let Jake talk. What's new? What's improved? What's coming this year?
So like we were talking about the night shoot, November 12th, 13th, and 14th, we'll throw a 100-target event either on the red or blue course. You will have an option to shoot both, but I know those options are filling quickly. But you'll shoot 100 targets on either of those two courses. Then we'll have a daytime prelim. That's 100 targets, the Dead Pair prelim.
Yes. Right.
And then we'll shoot, another 100 targets Saturday night. So if you shot the blue on Friday night, you'll shoot the red Saturday and vice versa. And then we'll have a 100-target super sporting set Sunday. Rotations are 10 and 1 on that one.
Sunday.
That is new. So it seemed like we had a lot of people staying over Saturday and then shooting Sunday at other venues, and we thought it'd probably behoove us to to throw something different, you know, not necessarily a 5-stand or a 100-target sporting event, but super sporting will be a fun way to end that one.
Yeah, for sure. So is that 100-target or 80-target?
100-target super sporting.
100, okay. I know you've done some 80-target super sporting before. That's why I asked. But yep. Mr. Alley is put to task with making some trophies for that Dead Pair prelim.
Yep, so we're going to have some cool trophies. I think we're going to do first place for each of the classes, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, is that what we're doing?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
E all the way up to master. If you win the class, you get one of the Dead Pair trophies.
Maybe we ought to do something for HOA too.
Yes. I'm going to make a big one for HOA, but everybody else will have pretty much the same trophy with just whatever their class is on it, and we'll do something cool for
they'll be sweet.
Yeah, they'll be cool. You'll definitely want these things. I'll make them nice.
Speaking of HOA.
Yeah, go ahead, lay it on us. I know you want to. I know you want to talk about this.
I would like to call out a one certain Mr. David Radulovich, and Scott Hitch. I know you're listening, so please get involved with this. I'm calling him out. David says he's going to come over and sweep our Dead Pair prelim. So the challenge is on, and I'm going to present him with a $200 bet. If he can shoot 100 straight, we'll give him the $200. Okay, now this is two part. Because I challenge whoever wins the $200, whether he pays us, if he shoots a 99, he's got to pay us, or if he shoots 100 straight and we got to pay him, I challenge the winner to give that money to the Kids and Clays Foundation.
Absolutely.
And David, I know you're going to be listening to this, so just let you know there will be 9 stations of incoming crows. No, just kidding. But we're going to throw some fun targets. Sean and I are setting those targets. We're going to do some fun stuff. Of course, Jake's already put the ropes on us from some crazy things, so we won't do that. But we'll have some fun with it. It'll be a fun course. It's not going to be over the top, but definitely going to be enough to challenge David so we can get him missing a bird or two.
Absolutely. Be a couple tough stations out there, but the rest of it will be a lot of fun for everybody.
Well, Jake, what's new at the Cardinal Center? What's coming? Anything you can talk about? Anything you can tell us?
Well, I think the last time we talked, we were getting ready to build additional skeet fields to keep SCTP, their skeet program, growing.
Right.
So those got completed. As far as new, we're just trying to add on to what we're currently doing. You know, if you've got a captive audience, you might as well try and capture as much of their attention as humanly possible while they're there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, the ammo shortage thing has been a real thing this year. Which, our walk-in business is still solid, but registered shoots are going to suffer a little bit just because you guys are a little more particular about what goes through your firearm than some of these other guys.
Speaking of that, Jake, Sean and I have touted this shoot for, all year. And if somebody's wanting to come to this shoot for the first time, that's going to be the first question to ask is there going to be ammo available?
Yeah, we're working to get some ammo available, Jason. I should have enough to cover.
It may not be their exact spice, right?
Right. But it may not be their exact spice, but I should have enough to cover what everybody needs if they were to shoot all 400 targets all weekend.
Hey, speaking of SCTP, I never did hear, do you know off the top of your head the final numbers? I don't mean for each event, but like overall amount of kids and maybe shots fired or...
Targets thrown was just over 1.5 million. Individual competitors, I think they were just under 3,500.
Wow. That's amazing.
That's a lot.
So almost 3,500 kids, over 1 million shots fired, not one injury.
1 million clay targets thrown. That doesn't even take into consideration the 600,000-800,000 rounds that were fired at the pistol range.
Oh, wow. And not one single injury.
No.
And see, this is what needs to be touted about the sport is the safety of it. Can you tell me, Sean Alley, I know your wife is a lacrosse coach. Can you tell me of a high school sporting event where a kid doesn't leave on a stretcher for some reason?
Well, we hope they don't leave on a stretcher.
But you know what I'm saying, though. Injury.
I think any kind of sport. I mean, I don't care if you're playing baseball, golf, tennis. I mean, there's always a chance to get injured. I mean, pull a muscle, do something like that. I mean, I guess that could happen too. But as far as serious injuries go, I mean, you start thinking about the contact sports. You start thinking about football and wrestling, even basketball and soccer. Yeah. I mean, anybody that's making physical contact with another person, there's always a chance for injury, and they try to set the rules up to minimize that. But there's just no way you can do it.
Right.
So it's always impressive to me to know that as bad of a image sometimes guns come into our society and are portrayed as, that in the reality of it, when it's done correctly, there's no problems.
Right. But I think that's, and Jake backed me up, you run a gun club. I think that's the whole point. You said something about guns, but I think when that message is sent home that as long as the safety is gone over with that person, even if it is a new shooter, there's nothing to be afraid of as far as injury. You know what I mean? Throw a leg over a motorcycle. You want to see how quick injuries happen.
Oh, right. Yeah, no doubt.
And trust me, I can speak firsthand. But anyway, I'm just saying I think that's something that needs to be touted a little bit more about our sport. Would you not say, Jake?
I'd agree. But it's also, it's not just to the youth either, Jason. I'll have 250 participants for an outing tomorrow. And I mean, obviously safety is paramount.
Yeah.
Followed by fun. But we'll throw 30,000 targets, sporting targets, tomorrow.
Wow.
And God willing.
Yeah.
Maybe a splinter or two.
Right.
Right.
But nothing.
Maybe
nothing
a bruised shoulder or
right.
something.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe some of that. But,
yeah.
And the majority of those people will be green shooters.
Right.
They will be people that haven't handled a firearm extensively or some of them even at all.
Well, and, there's one more thing, and I'll get off this because I'm on my soapbox right now, Sean, so Just quit rolling your eyes.
Go for it. Go for it.
Here's something else, too. You just talked about a benefit shoot that you're doing tomorrow, and there's going to be 255 shooters there. Is there somebody there from the NSCA? Is there somebody there talking them into becoming an NSCA member, maybe checking out a tournament? See, this is where I think we're missing opportunity. Do you not agree? I mean, am I off base here?
To an extent, but then you still it still breaks down to manpower. Like, I get the NSCA standpoint, but this is these type of events are what initially sets the hook.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, you come out and you shoot some targets that are user-friendly. You get fed well. You don't have to walk. You ride a golf cart. Ammo's covered. Golf cart rental. Gun rental, everything, and you get a nice little swag bag.
Yep.
You know, and right. you're team building with coworkers, potential clients,
having
current clients. Yeah, just having a good time.
Yeah.
So I mean,
that's the grassroots of the sport. Right. I mean, well, maybe hunting is maybe even further, a little deeper grassroots, but that's the grassroots of the sport, and I think that's where we're not capturing that. You know, if 16 million people a year are shooting clay targets, and we've only got 2,000 active members in the NSCA, something's not stirring a Kool-Aid. So that's all I was getting at.
No, I agree with you, but it boils down to what these people want out of their shotgunning.
Right.
Sure.
And the reality of it is few take it to the extent that you two have, you know?
Right. Yeah. I agree.
And I applaud you for that because look at what it's done.
I mean, but I mean, honestly, I mean, let's pick a sport. When you talk about a guy, he goes and he does his 40, 50 hours a week. He's a working class guy. He's got a little bit of extra money to play around. So, you know, there's golfers. Mm-hmm. There's bass fishermen that get into the bass tournaments and stuff like that. There's bicyclists. There's all kinds of stuff. Motocross. I mean, you pick a flavor. I mean, the one nice thing about shooting is that, you know, all ages, all shapes and sizes, you know, male, female, young and old can participate in the sport and have a good time.
And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying if you're going to break clay targets, it needs to be registered targets. That's not what I meant. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the sport for what it is without having to compete. I just think that the growth as far as from a competitive level is lacking. And I think this is somewhere we can capture some of those people that might be intrigued by this and want to compete a little bit, you know. Or how many times have you seen, you know, golf outings that people start getting into tournaments, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. It's the same thing. And I think if we're going to capture some of those people and entice them to come into the sport, I think – and that's what we're all about, Sean, is with our podcast, is introducing new shooters. So,
and, I mean, as far as the money aspect goes, I mean, any sport that you participate in on a serious level, if it is golf – you're going to go out and spend some big money on clubs and replacing your lost balls, and you got your golf shoes and your gloves and your pants and whatever else that you're wearing. And the same thing goes for anything else. So once you buy your gun, which is usually your biggest expense, I mean, when you go out and shoot a tournament for a weekend, it's probably not much different in cost than going out and shooting an 18-round hole of golf at your local course.
Except for there's not a shortage on golf balls right now.
This is true. This is true. So with any luck, that'll start repairing itself soon.
I hope so. I'm not going to dive into that subject. That's like throwing gas on a fire. But
yeah, I've talked to everybody.
Nobody's happy about that.
Well, hey, Jasper is waiting on us to call.
All right.
Let's take a real quick commercial break. We're going to come back with Jasper. Rhino Chokes and Shooting Sports introduces the Elite GP30 coating in their Gen 1, Gen 2, and is standard finish on their Elite Series chokes.
Not to mention lengthening and polishing of forcing cones to significantly reduce recoil, barrel porting to control muzzle rise, plus butt pads and recoil suppression systems to keep you fresher longer. Hey, these guys do it all. Corey, what do you think?
Hey guys, this is Corey Cruz, 2019 World Sporting Clays Champion. When you're ready to hit clay targets harder, give the guys at Rhino Chokes a call.
It's all about humanity.
It's time to react like never before. For the first time ever, RE Ranger used artificial intelligence to test and optimize 1 billion different lens variations. It's time to see the sport in a way no one else has with React AI. Available now in frame kits, lens kits, and our most popular lens shapes. For more information, please visit reranger.com.
American-made Atlas traps are made right here in Kansas and feature the finest quality, innovation, and support in the business. Atlas traps are made using aircraft-quality aluminum and stainless steel to ensure your traps will outlast the competition.
So whether you're an individual needing a private trap for practice and recreation, or a club needing to outfit your entire facility, family-owned and operated Atlas traps can suit all your needs.
Visit atlastraps.com to see the full line of commercial and recreational traps and accessories. With prices that won't make you see red and quality that won't leave you feeling blue, Atlas has the finest equipment available.
Okay, joining us on the telephone, Mr. Jasper Copeland. Jasper, how are you doing this evening?
Doing good. How are you guys?
Good. Hey, we've got, aside from Jason and I in the studio, we've also got a guest, Jake Spangler. I think you know him from days gone by, correct?
Definitely, I do. That's the man there. There he is.
Give him a howdy, Jake, just so he knows I'm not lying to him.
Howdy.
Oh, shoot. So what's been going on? Well, I tell you what, let's start off with this. Tell us a little bit about yourself for some of our listeners that don't know who you are or what you've been going through. Just give us a little background.
Yes, sir. So I am, my name's Jasper Copeland. I'm from Eatonton, Georgia, just outside Lake Oconee. I'm about an hour south of Atlanta. You know, I know we've got some guys that have been on here in the past telling some stories. I'm about 6 foot tall and I'm 110 pounds.
Okay. All right. Now, Jake, you've met Jasper before, haven't you?
Yeah, Jasper and his dad came up to the Cardinal Center for Promatic Masterclass. So we spent a couple of days in class. I had two of my guys going through it with Nick Sage. But yeah, all the Copelands, younger brother Aaron, fantastic people. Not going to meet better people.
Good deal.
Well, Jasper, you don't know this, but last year at the Florida State shoot, I was the squad right behind you, and we had a smaller squad, so we would catch up with you quite often, and I was watching you shoot, and I was blown away. I mean, guys, here's this. How tall did you say? 6'1"? 6'2"?
Right, I'm about 6'1", yes, sir.
Yeah, and you know, and you think, man, this guy's just an animal. And then he gets real nice and calm, gets up there, puts his gun up, calls pull, and all of a sudden, here comes the lion. I cannot believe how fast you were breaking targets. Is that something that you kind of learned over time, or was that with the way you were taught right off the rip?
You know, I guess it's a good mix. I've always felt like that maybe is a little bit of a strength for me, that I'm pretty comfortable shooting something pretty fast if I need to, but also pretty comfortable holding on to something, you know? So I feel like I use a mix of it, if you know what I mean.
I mean, you look like Derek Mine there for a minute. I mean, you just right off the arm. And he's like, pull, bang, bang. I'm like, dude, let him come off the arm first before you shoot him.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't think I hit quite as many as Derek does, but I'll shoot at him.
Jasper, you came up through the SCTP program, and obviously, you know, there are a lot of pluses to that organization. You know, Jake just told us, you know, tonight there was a record turnout for the SCTP Nationals this year. With all that said, is there something you think needs to change or improve going forward with that program, or do you think it's pretty solid the way it is?
You know, I really enjoyed it, and kind of like Jake said, I know I shot it at least the last, you know, 3 or 4 years that I shot SCTP up there at Cardinal, and that was always really a cool event. It was cool at least for some of the, you know, the funding we had through the team, even for some of the kids that didn't maybe get to travel quite as much. That was their vacation, if you will. You know, they at least got to travel and shoot that one big tournament a year, and you couldn't ask for a better place than Cardinal, obviously. But no, I think it's a really good program. I know SCTP kind of catches the bad rap for the targets and sporting at least being a little, you know, a little softer, but, you know, I think it's teaching you to compete, and, you know, who cares if somebody's going to shoot 100, if you know what I mean?
Right.
That was always a cool thing to me, but I also like that you got to shoot all disciplines, you know, so being able to shoot all the skeet and trap, and I know they're towards the end, that little bit of bunker and international skeet, I think it's cool to shoot anything, you know, having a well, to show who's the well-rounded shot, you know, there's a lot of guys that really focus on that skeet or trap or whatever it may be, but being able to shoot them all, and that combined score is always cool to me to see. You know, yeah.
That's the cool. That is the coolest thing. You know what the real sad thing is? I think the top three teams, four team nationals, were all from Georgia this year.
Really?
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
The Southern boys know how to shoot, huh?
Yeah, those Lake Oconee kids, Forest City, they're all stone cold killers.
Well, that's good. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Well, Jasper, tell us a little bit. So when you transitioned from the SCTP to the NSCA, I mean, how was the, I mean, was that a smooth transition for you? Was it kind of a shocker? I mean, tell us a little bit about your journey going from SCTP to NSCA tournaments.
You know, it was a little different. At least when I was in that, you know, middle school to high school, I didn't get to travel quite as much, you know, just to be honest with you, due to finances. So
sure.
I did get to travel a little bit with the team and that IGR state or a regional, and the same thing with NSCA. I'd always shot that as well. Like, I think I shot my first NSCA shoot in 2009, the year that I started, but it, you know, the biggest thing was traveling more. So I felt like at least, you know, I was just amazed. Like the first time I got to shoot a regional out in Arizona, you know, the first one I went to was in Tucson, but just that background compared to the background that I was, you know, used to where most of our shoots were at, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Obviously the targets are a little bit tougher, but it puts you outside of your comfort zone in a couple different ways, if you know what I mean. So that was probably the biggest thing, is just adjusting. You know, I remember when I first started, everybody was like, just hang in there. It's just a little different. Give it a couple years. You know, the more targets you can see, you know, as many different gun clubs as you can get to, it's going to help you in the long run. And to me, I was a bit skeptical at the beginning because I thought, well, I shoot targets. You know, we've set them at all different angles and speeds and distances, but I don't care what anyone says. That background makes a difference, you know?
Oh, boy.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
The first time, I know I shot one of the PSCA qualifiers out at Big Cedar in Branson, Missouri. And, I, you know, it's a little hilly where I'm at in Georgia, but nothing like that. You know, they throw a target straight down that mountain and then right back up it the next time, you know? So it had me confused.
Gotcha. Well, what about the rest of your SCTP teammates? I mean, did you see a lot of those guys and gals transitioning into the NSCA, or was it kind of a very few members making that change to go shoot NSCA targets?
You know, to be honest with you, it's tough. I actually, they're off of the team that I'm in, I can't think of anyone other than maybe my brother that's still involved with NSCA, you know, on a fairly normal basis. It's hard, I guess, you know, at that time when, you know, when we graduate high school and you're going to college and, you know, tight on money to begin with, but also being gone from home, maybe you don't get to practice quite as much. It seems like we lose a lot of people in that, you know, say 2021 until they're 30, you know. It seems like a lot of them come back a little later on, but that is a tricky one. I wish I knew the answer to that. I know a lot of it, at least I just got lucky, to be honest with you, as far as with you know, I was always had great support from my family, you know, to get me to the tournaments and, you know, as far as practice and everything, it gets really expensive. When I graduated high school, I just got lucky to stay at a club and stay involved in it to where I, you know, I was able to continue to do it. But that's a difficult situation. I wish I knew the answer to you.
Gotcha.
Well, I'm going to jump in here.
Go ahead.
Mind. Jasper, I know I had heard in the past that, you know, I know you're coaching, correct?
Right, and yes, sir.
You had made a comment that you kind of had a fondness for working with new shooters in the sport. Is that correct?
You know, I enjoy it. I feel like bringing new people into the sport is the only way we're going to grow it. You know, I know there's a big focus for people to throw these big tournaments and, you know, who can throw the biggest, baddest target and everything like that. And I'm not saying I don't enjoy that. I love to go to a shoot as much as anyone, but the more people we can get involved, I feel like it's the only way we're going to be able to grow it. And I haven't been doing it for that long, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm only 23, so I, you know, been given lessons, I guess, full-time here for about 3 years, but it, there's some things, you know, even for a new shooter, I feel like I can help them with, you know, but that more advanced shooter, I might not be as helpful, you know, just because I don't have that much experience. And not like I'm an Anthony or David or anybody like that that's been doing it for a long time that gives a lot of lessons, you know. So I feel like it's not something I'm instantly going to be good at, but over time, maybe it's been cool at least to start with beginners. I could, you know, I can somewhat experiment, if you know what I mean. Like with some people, everyone learns so much differently, and I probably taught it wrong before I taught it somewhat right, you know, but I think it's been really good for me to be able to experiment, you know, different methods and different ways to explain things to people just because I do it so often.
Right. That makes sense. I mean, I kind of get where you're coming from because, you know, Sean and I are not coaches. We've never once have ever thought about being coaches, but we'll have somebody new come along in the group, and we're just in a regular outing, if you will. And, you know, you, first of all, you make sure they're not going to shoot their foot off. But
right.
when you get them pointed in the right direction, if you see them struggling a little bit and you give them a little tip or a little something to help them and they break that target, man, they just great big smile. It's kind of like a...
Oh, they light up.
It's a feeling of accomplishment or gratitude, if you will, when you help someone like that. Oh, so, yeah. And I can see what you're saying as the new shooter. You know, it's easy to make a whole bunch of gains or a lot of gains versus, you know, if you go to a guy like David or Anthony, you're probably already an advanced shooter, and the gain is just small. It's minute, you know, so you don't see that much of an improvement right off the bat. Am I saying that right?
Definitely. No, I know what you mean. And nothing against – I've shot with both of those guys, and I think they've helped me tremendously, like even with some, you know, not only technically but – you know, mentally, some things that I never even thought about, you know, and that's something that maybe hurt me. I shot for 8 or 10 years before I ever took a lesson. If that was something I would change, you know, I would have definitely done that right in the beginning, because there's things that those guys have showed me in an hour that took me 4 or 5 years to figure out on my own, if you know what I mean. So,
oh, yeah. I mean, I would love to have a lesson with either one of them, for sure. No doubt about it. I was just implying that, you know, if you're already competing, if you're already, you know, somewhat of an advanced shooter, it makes sense to go to Anthony or David, but if you're a new shooter, you know, you can go to a lower level coach and still learn a tremendous amount.
Yeah.
Right. Definitely. No, I agree for sure.
Jasper.
Yes, sir.
What is your favorite event of the year and why?
Boy, Jake's not, he's just coming right off smoking, isn't he? He's not even messing around.
He's digging in.
Probably an odd answer here, but for me, it would be our state shoot. I guess the reason being is that, like I talked about in the past, you know, I didn't get to shoot the Nationals until a couple of years ago. I really liked that shoot, but the Georgia State's something that I've shot, you know, since the first year I started shooting. I've shot it every year since, you know, so it's cool to how it kind of bounces around, you know, every club that's going to be at is different. So, you know, I would have to say that one, even though I know it's not the biggest thing. I mean, Georgia's a pretty big shooting state.
That's a big state shoot.
It that would definitely be my favorite one, you know. Not that I don't enjoy the others, but at least somewhat here close to home. And, you know, at least I feel like I'm on the road so much here now to all the regionals and the U.S. Open and Nationals. I try to shoot most of them. It's a different crowd, you know, that you see. Some of the guys that I don't get to see that don't travel quite as much, you know, that you always catch up with them there at the shoot. So, that's always been a cool part about it for me, for sure.
You bet. And you guys got to remember that in the South, if you shoot sporting clays, you shoot SCTP, you shoot NSCA, you shoot, what's the one Ricky's got going on? It's the South Carolina Youth Shooting Association. I'm butchering that, Jasper, but they've got pile of kids, and it's not affiliated with SCTP. It's not affiliated with NSCA.
Well, doesn't Mike Luongo run one as well?
Yeah.
Or is that the one that Rick's doing?
Well, Hemingway was heavily involved with getting that started in South Carolina.
Okay.
But I don't know. I'm sure Luongo's got a team.
Yeah.
You know, but I know they put 400, 500, 600 kids through their state event.
Well, I think we need to get Jasper up here next year for the Ohio State shoot.
Jasper.
I think you need to come north with us Yankees and check this out, Jasper.
There you go.
No pressure.
You guys
no
got to remember, this man gets to practice 365 days a year because his weather is conducive for that.
Yeah. Well, then he ought to come up here and take state. Non-resident. Yeah.
So ask him about his last... Jasper, where did you get those pants for AFS Nationals?
Oh, boy.
So, crazy enough, I got those in... in a bet, actually. So there's this guy, I'm sure if you guys have shot, you know, any shoots in the Southeast, you've seen this guy. His name's Alex Sumner, and he always wears like a really bright colored pair of pants or shorts. Same thing with a shirt, you know, it's like a neon color, and they've always got strange patterns on them and stuff like that. And I had a guy that he no longer shoots, a buddy of mine, Steve Nelson, and I were at the U.S. Open in 2017, and I saw Alex walk by in a bright pair of pants like that, and I just said as a joke, I'm like, hey, if you buy me a pair of pants like that, I'll wear them tomorrow. And he said, okay, deal. And then I didn't think anything of it. Showed up the next day as the last day of the main event, and we walk up to the first station. He walks up to me with that pair of pants. He said, okay, I found some.
Oh man.
So I kind of got stuck with him. But I don't know, just something to wear. I'll wear him like on the 4th of July or every once in a while to the Open.
When he has a good weekend in Chicago, he'll wear them. Yeah.
Well, Jake made a bet with me at the Ohio State shoot.
I was hoping you'd bring this up.
You know what? No, we're going to edit this part.
No. Please continue.
We had a bet at the Ohio State shoot, and it started off with the fee task, and then let me back up a minute. Jake, because he didn't shoot enough registered target, had to shoot a penalty class. So instead of being in B, they forced him into A, which is where I was at the time. And he bet me on the fee task, and the loser had to wear a dress for the main event. And I'm like, you know what? If I show up and I'm got Ray Charles syndrome, no. So we ended up betting for a bottle, which I still haven't been paid. But anyway, and then we did a cash bet for the main. So, but yeah, this is the kind of trickery that the Spangler brothers are up to.
Yeah. Well, it makes it fun. Makes for good stories. That's for sure.
Yeah, can you imagine somebody wearing a dress for the main event? Yeah, no, I don't.
It was
think
the
so.
Prelim.
Is that what it was?
Loser of fee task had to wear a dress on the prelim.
That's right.
That's
but
okay.
If we took our prelim scores, you would have been wearing the dress the rest of the week.
Ouch.
That's all right, Jasper. I got a $65 bottle of bourbon out of me, so.
That's an image I don't want to get burned into my head, so right. I'm glad that didn't happen. Hey, Jasper, so switching gears back to you and as a shooter, what's your primary method when you're shooting out there? I mean, are you more of a sustained lead guy or a swing through or a pull away? What do you kind of focus on, or do you just kind of mix it up based on the targets?
You know, it does mix up a bit. Depending on the target, obviously, but I will actually start behind targets a little more than I see some other guys doing. I know some people say that's a bad no-no. If something's got a really strange line, especially at distance, I feel like starting behind that target has really helped me in the past because I feel like I can get the gun to where I need to. Because, maybe it's that little bit more instinctive way that I shoot. I had always hunted that way and stuff like that, but I use all of them. I'll tend to maintain some of the softer shots, the stuff in this a little bit closer, which I feel like most people do. But yeah, it's a good mix.
Okay, and another question I had for you. So, what's your favorite discipline to shoot? I mean, we've got sporting, fee task, AFS, skeet, trap. I mean, what's your favorite sport?
You know, that'd be really tough to say. I feel like I shoot more sporting than anything, but I think having some of. Like AFS, I think that's been a great thing, at least maybe something we'll eventually start throwing in our club. It'd be a cool thing to get newer shooters into that low gun type of game like FITAS, because I know that's a little intimidating in the beginning. But I really like them all. I even the skeet and trap and everything, I guess just shooting SETP for so long, I still use it now. I've never competed in skeet or trap, but I'll still use it as a training tool, if you know what I mean. So
yeah, it's all relevant.
I enjoy shooting all of it, to be honest with you.
Well, hey, Jasper, friend of the show, Bill Elliott, sent us a couple questions to ask you. He got all excited when he found out you were coming on. He said that this year you have been through multiple stock fittings. Can you explain the process and what you have learned from that?
So, I have. So, to begin with, I've always had a little bit of trouble finding a stock that really feels right, just because I had a pretty bad hand injury back in 2014. So I had to pull the trigger with my middle finger for quite some time, and through enough physical therapy, I got to where I could, I'm back pulling the trigger with my index finger, which was a bit of the reasoning, swapping up grips and things like that. But over time, I would say your mount changes a little, So on certain shots that the gun probably was sliding down in my shoulder a little bit, you know how anyone will do when you start to dig your head in the gun, your eyes are a little unlevel. You're looking through the top of your glasses, so to speak.
Right.
I think that was the biggest reason for swapping up, but it really is huge. So I didn't realize that the gun fit was that big of a deal, but roughly getting it closer, but I mean, I'm talking down to the millimeter, getting your eye right where it's supposed to be, or at least in a consistent place. I think it's really made a big difference for me, but it is a process. I've been frustrated with the process before, going through the pattern stock, getting the final stock, and And if there's any advice I would give there is just don't rush it. It's going to take time. Any, I feel like I've talked to any of the guys that have gotten those custom stocks, and any way you look at it, it's a year and a half to 2 year process if you want to get one right. And, you know, I shot one with Bondo on it for 3 years to make sure I got what I wanted, you know, which I know it didn't look the best, but I don't know, just feeling like you get it exactly where you want it, you know, before you get that pretty stock done.
Right.
Yeah. Get it right. measure twice, cut once, right?
That's it.
Hey, this is a question I ask a lot of different shooters. If you can think back, I know you said you got started like in 2009. Was there one particular time or one thing that made a huge improvement or difference in your shooting game? Can you think back on that moment or what it was that you learned at that moment?
You know, if I had to say there was one thing, obviously it's a lot of hard work. So I don't think, you know, the Zach, Anthony, anyone at that level, Corey, none of those guys got that good in a short amount of time. You know, it's hard work, and I think it takes a long time. And I by no means have mastered any of this, but if there's one thing I really think that helped is having that little bit of a routine. Like, and I hate to say it that way, because I can remember when I was a little kid and I was coming up through the classes, and I couldn't tell you how many people say you need to have that pre-shot routine, you need to have a little bit of a cadence when you call pull, you need to have something you run through every time. And I just wasn't all about it. I just wanted to put shells in the gun and go boom and go on to the next one, you know, because I wanted to shoot as many shells as I could, especially in practice. But when I really made myself think, you know, I was trying to find out the difference. Okay, you'd have good days, you'd have bad days. Well, sometimes I'd start my routine, I'd run it for three or four stands, and you know, I'd run the routine until something went wrong, and then I just throw it out the window. Well, that's the whole point in having the routine, you know, to have something to stick to, so you know, your conscious mind doesn't really engage. So if I had to say one thing that's really helped, is just trying to, whatever it may be. I mean, I know some guys take quite a while, some guys are really quick with it. I feel like maybe I'm somewhere in the middle, you know, but having something that you do every time. If you look in any sport, you know, it looks like golf, baseball, any of those guys have a little something that they do before they get started every time. So I would have to say that.
Well, a couple of things that I noticed, and in fact, Bill even has got a question here about it, but when I was watching you shoot, is two things. Number one, you dismount between pairs. And the second part of this question is that when everybody else is watching your show pairs, you don't hold your left hand up there and follow the birds. What's talk to me here. What's going on?
Well, I guess I'm the outlier here. I'm kind of the odd guy.
No, that's all right.
About it to me, I'll start with the hand, I guess, at least. And I'm not going to say that every once in a while, if there's something that I'm kind of unsure of, a hole point or something, I might hold with my hand or something like that for a pair. But I feel like a lot of my shots are missed because of too much barrel awareness. Not saying there's a few shots that you need that barrel awareness on, but forever it seemed like one of the hardest things for me to break is to not look at the gun. And I feel like if I'm holding my hand out there in front of me, all I'm doing is practicing looking at the gun. If there's sometimes I need to, I'm unsure of a lead or something like that, obviously your hand's going to kind of show you what that lead needs to be, but that would be the only time I'd really use it. As far as taking the gun in and out of my shoulder, I would have to say that goes back to eye dominance a little. And kind of as Bill was saying, I've gone through several different guns, from high ribs to low ribs, real heavy guns, real light guns. And at times when I was shooting that high rib gun, I think maybe, you know, I'm dug into the gun pretty good. So I think my right eye at times used to get behind the gun a little, so causing my left eye to take over. I know it looks kind of strange taking the gun in and out of my shoulder, but kind of back to that barrel awareness thing. If I feel like if the gun's out in front of me for a long time, I see it maybe a little too well. Whereas if I have time, you know, I don't do it every shot, but if I can get that gun out of my shoulder, I can see the target really well and not necessarily have to move my head around, you know, because I know some guys, you know, say like that Bill McGuire mount, he's in and then drops his hand, still keeps the gun in his shoulder, but it's just a little easier for me. And maybe it's something to do with my hand and the way I mount the gun. I'm not really sure. But I've played around with it both ways, and it just seems to work for me, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I get it.
Jasper, we've talked about, you've thrown Corey out there, you've thrown Anthony, you've thrown David. 23 years old, been shooting for a decade, instructing for 3-4 years. When you first got into the game as a teenager, who did you look up to?
You know, I'd hate to narrow it down to just one person, but a cool thing to me is guys that have been involved, you know, in the whole sport, I guess you could say. I mean, definitely the the Corys and Zachs and those guys have shot big numbers, and I respect all those guys greatly. I think it's really cool for someone like Anthony, or, you know, just ones that popped in my head, like Mike Luongo, someone that's really involved, you know, and a couple different areas. You know, I know they move guns around and stuff, and Anthony, you know, runs that club and does shoots and things like that. And that's been the cool thing to me. I obviously really like to shoot, but I like being involved in the industry, you know, so being able to go out and set targets, which I've been able to do quite a bit of here recently, and being involved in helping run shoot sometimes if I'm not shooting in them, you know, being involved there at the club. So I think it's cool to be involved in a couple different ways. I guess, you know, another one, even somebody like Brandon, you know, somebody that's, I guess, the outlier, if you know what I mean.
Someone BP, man.
That big score.
That dude is a bad man with a shotgun in his hand.
You know, yep. It's just cool to me. I feel like you got that guy in any sport that can really separate himself, you know, under the right circumstances, and I feel like he can do it at times, you know?
Oh, yeah, he's definitely one, no doubt. No doubt, definitely one.
But, you know, in any of these guys, I feel like from David, Anthony, Wendell, every one of these guys I greatly respect. They've been really good to me in the past, and I really looked up to all those guys. So if I feel like I could accomplish a quarter of what any of those guys have done, you know, I'd be blessed, so.
Well, Jasper, you've had a pretty good career for as young as you are. Is there any particular achievement that you're most proud of?
You know, I would say either between the, you know, I did win our state championship last year in 20. So that was a pretty big one for me. Something I've worked at for a long time. So that would, you know, that would probably be the biggest one for me. I did win the Nationals as a junior in 19 in San Antonio. So that was another pretty big one for me. It was only my second time being able to shoot the Nationals, so I hadn't been out there very much, but I would say between those two, you know.
And Jasper, so now you were talking about setting targets and coaching everything, and you're at Sandy Creek, correct?
Right, yes, sir.
What's your official title there? What is your official position there, if you will?
Right, so it would be like the chief instructor. So
okay.
We're a bit different. We're more like a resort type of gun club. If you think of like the Greenbrier, the Homestead, or like Sea Island, we've got a hotel that's on site. So we've got a Ritz-Carlton that's on site that we, you know, we have new shooters come through. And also we have a membership that's, you know, we've got about 1,200 members that have homes around the lake that have access to the club as well. So it, it's a little bit different club, but yeah, we've got several good guys that are out there. They're helping us. My brother helps us a little part time. So we've got about 8 or 10 guys that'll come in and help, and yeah, but no, it's been really cool for me to, you know, like I say, get a little more experience giving those lessons, and, you know, we'll get, you know, someone from the NSCA will come in every once in a while, and we'll do like our level one class and kind of get everyone a tune up. But the more I can, you know, stay involved, like I say, in plenty of different areas with the coaching, that's another thing for sure.
Gotcha.
For sure. So,
well, Jasper, as you know, our whole podcast is kind of focused around the idea of getting new shooters into the sport or getting shooters into registered targets. If you could give one piece of advice to a new shooter, what do you think that would be?
You know, really just to stick with it, you know, and not to keep talking about myself here because I haven't accomplished that much, but I felt like it's taken me, okay, what, 12, 13 years here now of shooting to be competitive on a good day, if you know what I mean. On my bad day, I'm still not there, you know, so it's kind of a process. And I can think of a lot of times going to these shoots 5, 6, 7 years into it and going home really frustrated. That would be the biggest thing, is just to stick with it. You know, it, like that thought process or anything you're going through, it takes time, you know. I'm not saying there's a few guys that can really throw up numbers, you know, right there in the beginning, but, you know, at least to remain consistent, I think it just takes time. So just be patient. And I guess that's why I was always lucky. I kind of enjoyed the process. You know, some guys just want to go straight to the podium and go really fast. And I mean, not that I don't always want to win, but even if I don't, you know, I feel it's a learning experience, you know. At least don't make the same problem the next shoot, you know, or make the same mistake.
Yeah, that's well said. Definitely.
Yeah, that's something that even Sean and I struggle with. You know, we want it bad, and you have to just kind of swallow your pride and realize that it's a long road.
Yeah, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Pretty profound from a 23-year-old, eh?
Yeah, I would say so.
For sure. Jasper, you've listened to the show. You know we do rapid-fire questions. you want to participate in this?
Definitely. I'd be glad to.
All right.
Cool.
All right. So first off, what gun do you shoot?
I shoot a Krieghoff Parkour.
Barrel length?
32.
Are they ported?
No.
Okay. Screw in or fixed choke?
They're fixed.
What's your constriction?
So I've got 23 thousandths in the bottom barrel and 33 thousandths in the top.
Oh, wow. That's tight.
Tight, tight, tight.
What's your go-to shells?
I shoot the Winchester Super Handicaps.
And is that 7.5s or 8s?
I shoot a good bit of both.
Okay. Vest or shell bag?
I shoot a vest, a bear pelt.
All right. There we go. What glasses do you wear?
Pela.
Ear protection?
ESP.
Nice. Jasper, is there anybody that you want to thank, anybody that's helped you along the way, maybe a sponsor or two?
Definitely. You know, I'm very lucky. Very lucky to, you know, at times, I know that's the odd way to look at it, but just being able to go to the shoots and be there, much less have a chance to win anything, you know, but definitely so Reynolds Lake Oconee, where I'm employed there, but they've been really good to me and helped push me and get to those shoots. Promatic would be another great one. Mr. Jim and all those guys. Much respect there for sure. I can't say enough good about those guys. And you know, Bear Pelt, obviously I've started with them here quite recently, and I've really been impressed with their vest. I think anybody needs to go give one a try. Marlette Fine Arms, a guy, Ernest Marlette, he's in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. He's been doing all my gunsmithing work, and I tell you, he's as good on triggers, I feel like, as anyone in the country. You know, he does a really good job. Three Dragons, which is, I'm sure you guys have probably heard of Justin Jones. It's his design company, but he's helped me out quite a bit as well. I hope that I haven't left anybody out here. But also, you know, my family, any of these guys at work, you know, being able to travel as much as I do and, you know, still be full-time at work. I can't say enough for all the guys that I work with every day and help give me support to go, you know. My family's helped me for a long time as well and continue to do so. So hopefully I can give a small portion back to some of these guys, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And Jasper, as far as your coaching goes, what's the best way of somebody getting hold of you if they want to take a lesson?
Right. So, you know, Facebook, Instagram, any of that's good, or, you know, my phone number, email address, any of that stuff works good. Yes, sir. But if you look me up on like Facebook or Instagram, it's pretty easy to find me. Yes, sir.
Gotcha.
Good deal. Well, Jasper, your sponsors and your family have a fine shooter in you, and I see a bright future for you. I mean, you've already started off on so much the right foot, so we wish you the best for sure.
Yeah, thank you for joining us this evening and sharing all your viewpoints with our listeners. Jake, any final words? Are you good?
No, buddy. Can't wait to see you again. Night shoot. Night shoot in November, Jasper.
Yeah, Jasper, you need to come up. you come up.
What it's is awful it? Cold for a Georgia boy down there.
I don't know. Last year, I think he would have enjoyed himself.
Oh, yeah. Everybody enjoyed themselves last year.
We were in shorts last year. But it's, 2 weeks after the Nationals?
12th, 13th, and 14th. I don't even know national dates this year.
Yeah, well, it wraps up on, well, Monday's November 1st after the Nationals. So, yeah, it'd be 2 weeks after Nationals. Jasper, you ought to think about that, man. You ought to think about making a trip. It's a hoot.
That'd be a lot of fun. I've heard a lot of really good things about it. No, that really would be cool.
And plus,
maybe I can break away for that weekend.
The biggest, the most fun part is Sean and I are setting the targets for the prelim. It's going to be a dead pair of prelim, so.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah. And then we've made I know you'll probably hear this later because we already did this before we got you on, but Jason's already called out David Radulovich. David kind of threatened that he was going to run 100 on our prelim, and so we've got a little bit of a side bet going on with David, so you'll have to check that out when this comes out and listen to that.
And how great would it be for you to come up and shoot 100 straight, watch David reel off a 99? Wouldn't that be neat? I'd love it. I'd love every minute of it. So if you can, come up and join us. You'd have a great time.
Yes, sir. Well, hopefully I can make it. No, that would be great. No, and thank you guys for doing this. Like you say, gearing towards some of the new shooters, I can't thank you guys enough. You know, I have a lot of students that mention all the time they really gain a lot. You know, you can gain one thing from any one of these podcasts is great. And I appreciate what all you guys do. And I look forward to seeing you soon, Jake.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Jasper, thank you very much. Appreciate you joining us.
Yes, sir. You bet.
You have a good evening, buddy.
See you, Jasper.
Safe travels, man.
Hey, shooters, when you're traveling, protect your gun in the finest case available. Negrini is a sponsor of the Dead Pair podcast, and right now, use the promo code DEADPAIR, that's DEADPAIR, all one word, for a 10% discount off your order. Plus, if your order totals more than $300, they're going to throw in free shipping. Remember, Negrini, we case your memories.
What do you think, Sean? Jasper Copeland.
Pretty impressive, great guy. Definitely see a lot of big things happening in his future.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, the kid's already accomplished so much, you know? Yeah,
no doubt.
Jake, you're awful quiet over there. What do you think of Jasper?
Just like I told you guys prior, you know, down to the earth, salt of the earth, just all around good people.
Yeah, seems like a good guy. Yeah.
And that, I feel like that conveys in his message to any of his students, whether it be beginner to a little bit more advanced, you know? And like you said, he teaches in a different setting than what most people are accustomed to. You know, it's a resort type setting.
Right.
Literally the entertainment industry.
Well, if you're going to do it, might as well do it well. I mean,
yes, sir.
Enjoy, right? Enjoy the ride. Mm-hmm. Well, hey, speaking of enjoy, so just an announcement to you guys that might not be aware. We've got finally, and that's been on me, got our swag page up on thedeadpair.com. So we've got hats, we've got shirts, a couple different options up there that you can purchase. All right, so if you're accessing the website, thedeadpair.com, from your PC, there's a menu up at the top that says swag. You just click on that. That brings you into our order page. Shirts, hats, all that great stuff is there available for purchase, and we really appreciate your support. And, hey, you get to run around with some great swag and show off the Dead Pair logo and to all your friends and shooting buddies. If you're coming in from a phone or a tablet, laptop, portable device, or not laptop, but a portable device, you have to click on the menu to access that. I don't think
which is in the top left corner.
Top left corner. Yeah. Well, it could, I don't know, Android, Apple, who knows? I mean, it's probably different for everybody, right?
You need a fresh one.
No, I don't need a fresh one.
All right. So anyway, the price, it seems a little steep, but it includes shipping.
Yeah, that's one thing we need to stress. So, I mean, we basically just made it an all-in price. You pay that price. Shipping's included. We'll come to your door. We ship out weekly. So if you order on a Monday, it may not go out that week. It may go out the following week. I don't know. It just depends on what day we kind of get all the orders compiled. And but we do ship them out within a week. So please visit. Please support the show. We appreciate it. And you get some cool swag for your person.
And speaking of shopping, the new RE Ranger React AI lenses They're up there, but you're getting what you pay for sure.
Yep.
But remember, when you go to the website, if you use the code DEADPAIR, two words, DEADPAIR, DEADPAIR at checkout, you're going to save 10% off your order.
Yep, and I just got my set today from Sarah.
You know what? You know what? You disgust me. Just don't even.
They're sick, too.
Yeah, don't be hating on me. I mean, I haven't got to even shoot with them yet, but I put them on and
still waiting on the prescriptions
to come out. So. I make those things look good. Trust me, I make those things look good.
Don't harsh his mellow.
Don't harsh my mellow. Come on.
We're going to leave that one. I'm not going to touch that with a 20-foot pole. So.
Right, okay. Fine. Fair enough. Other than RE Ranger, a big shout out to our other sponsors. We've got Game Boar. We've got Negrini. We've got Bear Pelt. Atlas Traps. Who else am I missing here?
Rhino Chokes.
Yeah. Chokes. New sponsor to the show. And I'm going to be sending my barrels out to get those ported very soon. So I'll let you guys know on that.
We've only been hearing about this for 6 episodes. Do you need Corey Cruz to gun butt you in the head?
No, it's happening. Okay, it's happening. Just be patient. It's a lot.
He was mid-season, man. He didn't want to.
Yeah, I don't want to mess up anything. I want to go shoot. So
you got to have mojo to ruin your good mojo.
Oh, he's got good mojo most days.
Most days.
He just got the Joe. I don't know about the Mo. He just got the Joe.
Really?
Gosh. So Jake, night shoot, Dead Pair prelim, red course, blue course, under the lights, and then super sporting on Sunday.
Yep. Friday night.
So a total 400 targets.
Total 400 targets. Friday night, you'll have an opportunity to shoot either the red or the blue at 6 p.m. Saturday, we've got a prelim at 10 and 1, and then prelim at 10 and 1, Dead Pair prelim at 10 and 1.
Yes.
And then we've got another opportunity to shoot targets under the lights Saturday night at 6, and then we've got a 10 o'clock and a 1 o'clock rotation on Sunday for Super Sporting.
Is there dinner either day? Or
Woo, we're going to feed you.
Okay.
All right, we're going to feed you prelim participants. Lunch will be included for the Dead Pair prelim. We'll include dinner both nights for night shoot entries. And then we'll feed you lunch on Sunday for the Super Sport.
Always great food over at the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah, you can't go wrong, buddy.
No,
yeah.
sir.
No, and so I found these guys I'm working with. Hopefully their schedule can clean out.
Wait a minute. Better than City Barbecue?
It's a lobster roll.
Oh, my.
Stop it.
Out of a truck.
Oh,
my. And they make lobster quesadillas.
You don't be teasing us now.
I'm working with them to see if our dates line up.
You had me at lobster.
Right. Yeah, it's called the Wicked Lobster.
Sean is salivating, whatever that, he's drooling right now.
Dude, so the creator of the night shoot, because I wish I could take credit for it, but I can't. I'm just the guy who figured out how to make it all financially responsible.
I love you, Jake.
He actually turned us onto this lobster truck, and he said, I'll go anytime. And we've driven to Mansfield. We've driven to Centerburg. We've driven to Cardington. We've driven anywhere they're at within an hour and a half.
Legit.
We're having lunch.
It's legit. Wow, okay.
That's awesome. So, hey, a couple quick fun facts here. 32 stations. Is that right?
Yep.
And that's 64 light plants.
Am I saying? We actually run 70, Jason. Wow. Just so I've got enough light to get everybody around the course.
All right. Are you going to light the five stand this year?
Five stand will be lit.
Sweet.
Five stand will be lit. And I've got some surprises. Got some surprises.
We like surprises.
We're going to do something we haven't done yet.
Okay.
As far as target setting goes for the night shoot. So sweet. That'll be a little bit different.
Other than the dead pair.
Other than the dead pair, yeah. Besides,
really?
Yeah. And it's not anything huge, but hopefully it's enough for everybody to go, ooh.
All right. So
are we talking poof targets or?
No, it'll be legit targets, just like they always happen.
I call them poof, flash targets.
No. We may do those on a few stations. Okay. But no, we're going to hopefully put something up in the air and see.
Oh, nice.
Well, hopefully you can dial in the weather from last year. I'd really love that.
I'm
telling you
what. I'm looking at the forecast this year and year compared. You know, you're looking at it and you're going, okay, I feel like we're 2 weeks behind because normally the opening of dove season, you can count on Central Ohio going, all right, opening of dove season, we're going to go from 85 degrees to a high of 69, and it's going to be in the low 50s at night with a bunch of rain. Well, guess what? We haven't got there yet, so hopefully, fingers crossed, we can draw the good weather card again for that one.
Cause right
it is, on. It's a fun shoot as it is. It makes it even more enjoyable when you get to wear jeans and a t-shirt.
Yeah, instead of 25 pounds of Carhartts.
Well, I think it was Holly that said last year, I wish they would light the barrels. And I looked at her kind of funny, and she goes, not for the warmth, just for the ambiance.
Well, and that's what the shoot's about. It's you know, I listened to a podcast with the mayor of Whitehall, Whitehall, Illinois, Gary Fitzgerald, and he said there's not enough boutique shoots. He said, you're losing the shoots that are a little bit more intimate.
Yes. The signature shoots.
Right, right. Well, and signature for me and signature for somebody else are totally different things. I want something where everybody enjoys themselves, something different, obviously, which is why we're shooting targets at night. But then everybody sits around and BS's for an hour or at least until I throw them out of the clubhouse after we're done shooting. you don't got to go home, but you can't stay here.
Right. But I think that's one of the cool things, and Sean will back me up on this, about the night shoot is that camaraderie that happens before and after the shoot. You know, it seems like everybody comes out of the woodwork for the shoot. Everybody sticks around. You know, how many shoots do you go to now where as soon as you're done shooting, everybody loads up, packs up, and goes home? And it's like, man, we were kind of having fun. Yeah. Where's everybody going?
Yep.
The night shoot's one of those shoots where people stick around.
It's a social event.
It is.
Absolutely. It's an experience. It is a registered shoot. But more than that, it's an experience.
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
It's just, it's fun.
Look forward to
Jason's a high energy person. Yes. I can be a high energy person. You know, when you pull into San Antonio, and you guys will experience this year, and I think it's both your first times at Nashville.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You'll pull in there and you'll go, this is awesome, right? I want that feeling created when they're pulling down our driveway and they see the light plants up and they go,
oh heck yeah.
I want them to drop the first pair right out of the box just cause they're so amped up to be there.
Right.
Right.
You know,
I always look forward to the video. Usually Luke or him, they hop in one of the buggies and they do a quick spin around the course, and like somebody's filming from the passenger seat, and you got all the lights on. You can kind of drive around, you hear the generators running, you hear the, you see the lights on. It's just awesome. I can't wait.
Well, speaking of that, because you and I, and we haven't told this to Jake yet, because you and I cannot shoot the prelim because we're setting targets, we are going to drive around and film live video feed, Instagram or Facebook, might be YouTube. We haven't figured it out yet. And we're going to see David Radulovich miss those targets. And we're going to see some shooters break some clay targets. And I think that'd be fun to drive around for an hour and film that and have it live feed. How cool, you know? And, you know, Jake, you said something to me 4 years ago, and I'll never forget it. It stuck with me. It rings true all the time. You looked at me and you said, "We're in the entertainment business." And I said, "What do you mean?" You said, "We as target setters, club owners, managers, we are in the entertainment business." And I've watched what you and your brother and your staff have done, and you guys seem to go above and beyond for your shoots, and especially something like this night shoot it's becoming iconic, really.
Absolutely.
And this is again, we talk about that atmosphere thing, right? And it's you've created this atmosphere where people want to come, they want to shoot, they want to have a good time, they want to stay. When they want to stay after a shoot, that, I think, is a telltale sign. If they had fun, they don't care about their score, they got to go shoot with their buddies underneath the lights in the Northeast, you know? And it's just such a memorable time. I wish more people, if you're hearing this and you're on the fence, stop it. Okay, it's kind of like Corey Crews and Sean and porting his barrels. Quit messing around and get it done. Sign up for the night shoot, Cardinal Center. It's on up on Winscore.
It's on Winscore. We are actually really close to the Friday night red course being full. Like, I don't think we can accept any full squats.
Wow. Well,
and then the blue is the same way on Saturday.
Wow.
So it's good that people are traveling and they're shooting multiple events. And But that's why this thing was created. You know, there was and I think I've told this story to both of you before the fancy stations, you know, before all that stuff, we threw this thing and it was one course and it was one night. And I think we put 125 shooters, 130 shooters through it. But a friend of mine came up to me and he's, like I said, he's a foodie. He's an experienced guy. He's always after the experience. He wants the experience, not necessarily doesn't care about anything else. Wants the experience, wants the fine wine, wants the fine cheese. He said, people go to these wine and cheese tastings. He said, because not for the wine or the cheese, for the experience. And that's what we're trying to create here. And to touch on what you said, we just at the Cardinal Center, we want to exceed expectations. We know that there's expectations. We want to exceed them. That's the goal all the time.
Yeah.
If we're not doing that, we're not doing our job.
That's well said.
Yeah. Very well said. Well, hey, listen, we're running a little long here. Thank you again, Game Boar, Negrini, RE Ranger, Atlas Traps, Bear Pelt, and Rhino Chokes. We appreciate everyone that has stood behind us, helps bring these shows week after week, and we're going to keep bringing them.
Absolutely. And make sure you guys all tune in for the next episode of the Dead Pair Podcast.